It's time to catch the beat for Market Street on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Your community radio station is in the heart of the action in downtown Champaign, and Catch the Beat brings highlights of local news, arts, culture, and issues to pay attention to. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Featuring three floors of gently used books, greeting cards, journals, and more. Jane Addams Bookshop is at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign, online at Jane Addams, that's A-D-D-A-M-S, books.com. As always on WEFT, the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Inc., Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the WEFT Associates. I'm your host, Cope Cumston. I'm pleased to welcome to Catch the Beat, Tekle De Kuntz, Executive Director and Communications Chair of NAMI Champaign County, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. It's the nation's largest grassroots mental health organization, dedicated to building better lives for the millions of Americans affected by mental illness through public awareness, support, education, and advocacy. We are very fortunate in Champaign County to have a powerful and active local branch that offers many services and resources for people touched by these issues. Tekle, I'm going to turn this over to you to introduce us to NAMI Champaign and what you offer.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. And it's a pleasure to be here with you too, get to chat with you. I love talking about NAMI. So as a part of the National Alliance of Mental Illness here at the local affiliate, Champaign County, but don't be fooled by the name, we cover seven counties in East Central Illinois. So a vast majority of that area, we have members from all over East Central Illinois, from Douglas to Vermilion and Coles County as well. And we work with our state organization, NAMI Illinois, to provide trainings, NAMI signature programs, and a couple of other mental health education things as well as NAMI on campus here locally. And then we also work with our national organization, the National Alliance of Mental Illness. So a lot of what we do is, as you said, support, educate, and advocate. We offer mental health education programs to individuals who are experiencing mental health conditions. We offer support groups and support throughout the nation as well, because we will open to connect you with virtual and online support groups that work with your schedule. And then we also do things here locally, peer social groups. We have in-person support groups. Our NAMI on campus, we have three here locally, one at the University of Illinois, one at Westville High School, and one at Champaign Central High School. So we've got a lot of different things going on that all have to do with mental health and highlighting and destigmatizing mental illness.
What would be a good place to start?
So it depends on the individual. Every individual's person's story is different, and we're storytellers with our organization. It's sharing our individual experiences or living experience with people. So sometimes a good place to start is a support group, going to one of the ones in person, getting to be surrounded by people who have also gone through similar circumstances and things that might help you feel less alone, because you're not alone. But it also could be, if you're a student, it might be going to our NAMI on campus, say at UIUC, and getting to destigmatize mental health and public awareness with them, as well as do mental health and self-care activities. I got involved through taking one of the mental health education programs. So I took a class before I got involved with everything else. And so it just depends on your story and where you are in your mental health journey.
Support for families dealing with this with a family member is so important. Can you describe what happens in your family support groups?
Yes, so they are open to anybody who would like to attend. Our ones in person, we have two, one in the Champaign-Urbana area and one in Tuscola. Those support groups, as you walk in, you meet other people who have gone through similar stories. Our family support group is specifically for family members, loved ones, or caregivers of somebody who has a living experience with a mental health condition. So that could be a mom, that could be a dad, that could be a caregiver of just someone taking care of it, could be a friend who's just like, hey, I'm concerned about my friend and I want somewhere to chat about it. And they just talk about the peer-to-peer relationship and what that looks like. So that can be expressing your frustrations. It can be trying to find solutions or remedies of like, hey, how do I deal with this? And then also reminding ourselves to take care of ourselves too, because it is a challenging time. It affects us when our friends and families are going through something. And so our support groups kind of work like that. They're very much peer-to-peer conversation and then having that experience of not being alone.
And they deal with issues as common as anxiety and depression, on up to bipolar, schizophrenia, and other mental health conditions. In a support group, are there very different kinds of issues discussed?
Yes. So support groups are to individuals who come to the support group to discuss what's going on. And so we have heard of individuals who both experience depression and then have family members who have depression or anxiety. NAMI typically refers to or kind of covers all neurologicals. So it could also be a brain disorder or a CPTSD. And so we see a lot of things that happen that come and go. A lot of times individuals are in crisis or they're just coming out of a crisis where they discovered, oh, somebody in my life has a mental illness. And then it's just kind of walking through like what that looks like, knowing like what are the resources that we have available.
And it can be very difficult to find resources in town. I know to find professional psychiatrists, counselors. What can you recommend for people who are struggling with that?
I can acknowledge that it is quite the struggle and a real challenge in any community, not only ours, because we both are urban and rural, and that can be a challenge because we cover a lot of East Central Illinois, but also just knowing where to look. So, as a nonprofit organization, we're not clinicianary, so we can't recommend certain practices, but we encourage individuals to speak with others in our group, others in the organization, go to a support group, kind of ask them what their thoughts are, and if they have any recommendations of, hey, this was what was working for me. Here's my story, and kind of go from there to find local resources. We also try to help individuals if they call our warm line, for example. We have a NAMI Champagne warm line. Try to individually connect with resources because we are a resource-based organization. So we can send you resources so that you can find things on your own and kind of navigate a little bit into the right direction so that you're not doing it alone, and that we have a collaboration. You're able to find local resources. And if there isn't one, it's like, hey, what are the next steps and how can we help and support you?
I haven't heard the term warm line. What does that mean specifically?
So, a warm line, and this is a good question because I also had this question when I joined the organization. A warm line is similar to a lifeline or a hotline or a cold line. There's different levels. And a warm line is a phone line service. Like you call, some people text. We don't currently have that, but you can call us and we get back to you in a couple of days. As it turned to a hotline or a crisis line, they're there immediately. So we are a group of all volunteers with the exception of my role. And so everyone involved with the organization has been a volunteer or is a volunteer. So our warm line, we have a dedicated individual who answers the voicemail messages within 2 to 3 business days if you express what your situation is and tries to find you resources that are more individualized to the circumstances. And then they call you back, talk with you, and then kind of explain, here are the resources that we have. Because it takes a couple of days, it is a warm line. But that's why we also recommend if you're in crisis to call 988, for example, or our NAMI helpline, which is a national offering or service.
One service that looked to me on your website like it could be very useful is your NAMI Basics on Demand. What does that consist of?
The NAMI Basics is a signature program that was developed by our national organization and adapted by them. It is a currently online module. So there are modules within the NAMI Basics that you can take at your own pace, kind of like online classes, like virtual online classes. So you can learn as you go. You make an account there, and then you can log in at your time and convenience to be able to learn the basics of mental health, destigmatization, education, communication, as well as self-care. That's a big one with us.
It is. And is that free to anyone?
Yes.
How would people get information about it?
They can either email us at info@namichampagne.org, go to our namichampagne.org website or go to the NAMI national website, which is NAMI.org.
You recently held a community education program that was titled Communicating with Your Teen or Tween Without Money, Magic, or Eye Rolls. What happened at that workshop?
So our community education events is we host a series once a month that we invite a local resource or community member to come speak about mental health. So we had an individual from Metro Suburban, which is another NAMI affiliate in the upper north of Illinois, and they came and spoke to us about how to communicate with teens. And that was a very interesting conversation. We held it hybrid. It was both virtual and in person. I was there, and they taught a lot about communication styles and how to respond to things and take a moment to be like, hey, we want to ask why, we want to be curious about what's going on rather than judgmental.
You also have a teen and young adult helpline. Do you get many calls on that?
So our helpline is a national service. And so you can call or text our NAMI helpline, which is run by volunteers and our national level organization. So our affiliate does not, but individuals who are part of that group, the volunteers there have been trained to answer questions and help teens and tweens. And they're also peers themselves, usually, who are speaking to the callers on the line or the person individually and talking through like what's going on. I really like that one because there's a directory that they can go to have resources that are local as well as national and be sharing those resources with individuals because there is a struggle, there is a challenge when it comes to being a young adult, being a teen, being a tween, where finding those resources is challenging enough as an adult that to have that connection with somebody, whether it's over the phone or virtually, to be able to have somebody validate your experiences, I think is really important.
What about educating teens and tweens on the issues with social media and how that can be involved in mental health issues?
That has been quite the conversation recently in the past couple of years, and definitely one that NAMI National, as well as ourselves, have taken an interest in. I have an idea about social media and how it affects individuals as well. I also think it's a good way to connect with resources and ways to get involved with that. One of the things that we do here locally is we have a presentation called Ending the Silence. It is a presentation which is co-presented by an individual with the living experience who's usually is a young adult, and then co-presented with an adult who is either a family member or has their own experiences. And they go into schools or go to presentations with organizations to share about teen and young adult mental health. And one of the things that is discussed there is talking about social media, it's talking about suicide prevention, and talking about the warning signs to look out for in your friends and family.
You also offer classes in Spanish.
We would like to offer more classes in Spanish. Yes, we have some wonderful volunteers. We have a program called Sharing Hope, which is a conversation for individuals to have hosted. Usually in person, for individuals to come and talk about their experiences with mental health and kind of have that conversation. It's usually led by the individuals who are attending to kind of have a conversation with our presenters and individuals. We do have people who have been trained for family to family in Spanish, if anyone's interested in that. We would really like to have more programming in Spanish locally. We just find it a challenge. We need more volunteers who want to get involved with mental health and help us destigmatize mental health when it comes to our communities.
How do your groups in the high schools work?
So our NAMI on campus is a program which is led, it's student-led. We have a faculty who usually is interested in it and co-leads those conversations, and then we bring public awareness into the schools. So that can look like self-care events. It can look like creating what we call Tree of Hope, which is you have a tree and you name good qualities about yourself or a topic or a prompt. Just kind of put it on a tree so that you have something to look at. Our NAMI on campuses at the high schools have done public awareness events, they've done stigma-free events, and they've had workshops and group activities to encourage self-care, self-awareness, as well as self-mindfulness. We've also had a couple guests come in as well and do presentations with them. I would love to have more Namia campuses in high schools. I think high school and that transition period of time is a really crucial part of growing up. And so having mental health, whether it's public awareness, destigmatization, or just activities that kind of promote, hey, everyone has mental health and you matter, I think is vital to development. And so I really do hope the same thing. People who are interested in getting involved with NAMI on campus can contact us and be like, hey, I would like to start a NAMI on campus. How can I do so? Here's my school. And then we connect with you and walk you through the steps.
What would you say are the main issues around destigmatizing mental health?
The main issues is stigma. There is still a lot of stigma, and you would be surprised. After COVID and the pandemic, there seemed to be a good highlight on mental health, but it also spotlighted how much more work we have to do to destigmatize mental health in general. Not everyone is aware of anxiety and how it affects individuals or depression, and we're still kind of fighting that fight and advocating for individuals with mental health to be like, this matters. This is a legitimate, real thing, and still having those conversations over and over again, because that's the important part, is not only practice, but encouraging others to want to tell their story, to be able to destigmatize mental health, both as an individual, so that we're not having like our internal bias or, oh, I'm overworking myself. And just understanding, like, hey, you're burnt out, putting a name to something that you might not know what it is, and then educating family, friends in our communities. Stigma is a real barrier when it comes to access for resources and just acknowledging mental health in general.
A part of what NAMI does is advocate for services for mental health. Are there particular places where you see this need?
Our national organization and our state organization advocate at the state and federal level for mental health. And one of those things that we do is provide stories and provide individuals with their personal experiences to share with legislators and representatives so that we can get the safeties and the necessary needs addressed when it comes to our policies that are being enacted. Because a lot of times it feels like we don't have control over what's happening to us. And it's really important as a part of advocating is having people step up and be able to speak for us and for us to be able to use our own voice to share that. I see that locally as well with individuals who I'll go to a grocery store and I'll hear somebody making fun of somebody about having depression or anxiety. And advocating starts at a personal level too. It's also telling your friend, like, not making jokes about killing yourself or not making jokes about, oh, I'm so bipolar with this weather, and just addressing those things first. That's also a version of advocacy.
What kinds of legislation are there that can help provide for the needs of people and families with mental health issues?
So there is a lovely list on our national website, NAMI.org, about the current legislative and policies that are going up for voting or need more individuals to witness slip on. Currently, one of our main focuses is the healthcare and advocating for individuals when it comes to the work requirements that are going to be enacted in 2027. And something that we're trying to navigate and figure out and say, hey, what can we do as a local organization to help provide individuals with guidance through that? Because it's, for lack of a better term, a mess. And so that is one thing that people can get involved with is witness slipping and looking at some of those policies that are coming up. 988 is a crisis line for individuals who are experiencing either a crisis that is behavioral health or need resources to connect with things. It is an alternative to 911, and we recommend calling 988 if you're having or experiencing a mental health crisis and or you're not sure if this is a mental health crisis. You can call 988 and talk with somebody over the phone about what's going on, and they can walk you through next steps. And it's kind of a great way and a good way in our current climate to have somebody there and present. And as I mentioned earlier, how warm lines take a little while, crisis lines are immediate. So they will answer the phone, they will talk you through it, and they will give you resources right then and there. One of the things a couple of years ago was not only getting 988 involved and active, but also trying to get 988 call centers funded and trying to figure out how one does to do that, get them staffed, funded, because that is a vital part of the 988 lifeline, crisis line. The Trevor Project is another national nonprofit organization primarily focused on LGBTQIA+. They're an organization that NAMI has partnered with as well in terms of creating resources and another good nonprofit and resource.
You referred to issues and changing work requirements. What will that apply to?
Individuals who are seeking health care through the health care and insurance, as well as this affects SNAP and other aid benefits, may have to be required to provide proof of an 80 hours of work. Now, that work can look like volunteering, it could work like work and pay stubs with W-2s, but they will have to provide it more frequently than they currently do. And that work requirement affects individuals with disabilities and individuals who have mental health. That proof of working is something that's going to be a challenge in the future. And not everyone is aware of that change. And not everyone knows how to navigate and provide that proof that they may have to in order to keep their benefits.
How difficult is it to get benefits like Medicaid, Medicare with a diagnosis of mental health issues?
Can be a challenge regardless of if you have a mental health condition or not to be able to access those things and know which way to turn to and navigate it. If you need a resource, I would recommend the Healthcare Consumers here locally. They're another nonprofit and they provide assistance to be able to provide benefits for healthcare. And I've had good luck with visiting our local ID, Illinois Department of Health here locally as well, and going in person. It does take a while. There's a long wait, but the individuals there are helpful and supportive.
Something that interested me on your website is saying that there are NAMI artists and that there is artwork on your website. Is there a program supporting art therapy?
There are art therapy programs in Champaign County. We like to provide opportunities for artists to showcase their art. And so, what you're seeing on our website is opportunities for our local artists who are part of NAMI or our friends and family to be able to present their art at local galleries or spaces. So, they have presented art at, for example, Ebert Fest. We had a collaboration with AIR, the Alliance of Inclusion and Respect. They were showcasing their art. And this was from individuals who are part of AIR as well. So, DSC, individuals involved with our family services have also come out and supported the efforts. And so they present their art there. They've also done Boneyard and presented at the Crow and have their art displayed there in collaboration with them too. We want to support local artists as well as share what these wonderful individuals have made and have them have an opportunity to showcase it. It's for allies and advocates as well. So it's not just individuals who are experiencing mental health conditions, it's also people who want to support individuals who are experiencing mental health conditions. And I think that's a big part of it too, is creating this networking community of support in our communities and showing the art is one way to do so. I would love to highlight the need for volunteers and storytellers. Individuals who are affected by mental health conditions, their voice matters, and so does yours. And it's really important that we are able to destigmatize mental health by talking about mental health. I have seen a slight decline in the conversation of mental health and mental illness, and I think we need to come back to talking about it again and highlighting the efforts here locally. And so that for me is getting involved with volunteering, finding a local nonprofit or place where you can get involved and help table events. It doesn't have to be big, it doesn't have to be on stage, it doesn't have to be showing your art in these gallery events. It could be as simple as walking into one of these events and showing up to say, I want to destigmatize mental health. We would love to have more volunteers. And I know it's not just NAMI Champaign, it's NAMIs across the country, it's local individual nonprofits to have more people involved who want to share their stories and talk about destigmatizing mental illness. There are no requirements to becoming a volunteer. You can come to one of our events, you can come to tabling. You don't have to be a member to participate in any of our NAMI programming as well. So you can take a mental health education class. If when we're offering it and join, and we provide all the materials. So there's no requirements. There is a training that you can take to become a presenter. And that is one another way to get involved. If you'd like to be a presenter to present like ending the silence or become a facilitator for a support group, there is a training for that that you can get involved with. And there's more information about it on our NAMI.org site as well as NAMI Champagne.
This is a tremendous range of resources that you offer. Are there any others you can think of that would be useful to know?
There are some wonderfully curated directories at NAMI.org and resources for all ages. No more important or less important than the other, but it's all there. And it's one thing that I wish more people would take advantage of. There's not only work about college, for example, individuals who are going to college who may have a mental health condition or just are involved in college and don't know what paperwork to fill out. There's a resource on our national website that people can go to find out, like, hey, what do I need to do for this and what do I need to do for that? There's also other resources and community efforts that people can get involved with and have access to. And that's my big thing is I want people to have access to those resources. We will be at a couple of resources during at schools in the coming months, as well as the Pride event. So Uniting Pride's Pride event in Urbana. We're a group of talkers. If you can't tell, we're storytellers. We're talkers. You could talk about anything with us, and we'll be like, "Wait, hold on," and talk to you for hours. So feel welcome to stop by. It doesn't even have to be about mental health. If you want to share a story with us, if you want to just talk about the weather, feel welcome to stop by. Because trust me, we will talk to you. We want you to feel comfortable and come chat with us. And one of the things that we say is, you don't know what no one tells you. So it's important to have a community, have a network of support, and connect with others. Absolutely, isolation has been a big factor and something that people have highlighted, and something that we have to acknowledge is that we're not alone. We have the ability to reach out for resources, and you don't know what no one tells you. As in, there are resources out there, there are people who are out there you may not know now, but once you connect with them or you reach out or make sure that you're reaching out to others as well. You can learn so much from your community and your friends and your network and your people who are around you and feel less isolated.
Techley, I so appreciate your time and your expertise and your care around these issues. It's so important to know that this is here for people who need it, and all they need to do is reach out. I want to thank Techley de Kuntz for outlining the resources provided by our local chapter of the National Alliance of Mental Illness. To learn more about what they provide, go to their website, namichampagne.org, and anyone experiencing an immediate mental health crisis can call 988 or visit chat.988lifeline.org. On the second Thursday each month, NAMI offers an in-person family support group, which is a safe, confidential, informal time for those 18 years and older to share your concerns with other families and caregivers. It meets at the OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center at 1400 West Park Street in Urbana from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. There are many more support groups available, both in person and online. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Jane Addams Bookshop at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign, online at janeadamsbooks.com. You're listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, streaming on weft.org. All episodes of Catch the Beat are archived on the WEFT website at weft.org under Public Affairs. You can also listen to live stream and archive shows on the WEFT app, available on your favorite app store. With thanks to Creative Commons for intro and outro music by Kevin MacLeod, see you next time.